Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, Koopalings, to another fun-filled edition of Nintendo Voice Chat. Woo! Okay. we've got a small crowd here today.
All of two people.
All of us. I'm Audrey Drake, your humble host, and that dude, the other dude in the room, is Rich George.
Hi.
Say hi, Rich.
Yeah, basically with Comic-Con going on, people are just kind of running around a little bit.
It's kind of hard to get people together this week.
On manpower because people are down at Comic-Con, which sort of shifts things around, and people here get busy doing the stuff that other people were going to be doing if they were here, yada, yada, yada. So.
And I've been busy working on a certain review that is going up next week.
I mean, you
week,
can say it because they're not they'll see it after you announce it, so it's fine.
Yeah, what exactly. Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop Distance.
Our
big review of the OMG. It's going up Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, so keep an eye out for that.
It comes out on like the 25th or 26th in Europe, and then it comes out here in the States on the 31st. Got a bit of time there to kind of ponder if you want to adventure with Donald and Mickey, I guess, right?
Exactly.
So that's kind of cool. And what else has been going on? Comic-Con, obviously, I just mentioned that. If you go to the site, actually, we've got a bunch of new demos. Mm-hmm. And these are actually interesting because there with commentary. So we actually got someone from Nintendo just chatting about the game. So if it was sort of like a situation where you saw some footage of Mario, but you didn't know all the details, you know, because I know sometimes you guys see one article, but maybe not another, or that sort of thing. These should serve as a pretty good guide to everything about the game, which is kind of, or that we know so far about
just
the game
give you a
and that demo.
Insight into them and yep. What can you expect.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. It's Mario, Pikmin, Nintendo. Three of the games in Nintendo Land, I think, yeah. And
like Animal Crossing and
yeah,
Zelda
Animal Crossing,
one.
Zelda, and Donkey Kong.
That's right, Crash Course.
I think it's those. And then we also have Zombie U. There's some direct feed footage of the demos that we had previously played, and I believe there's a commentary track as well.
Yeah, no zombie Reggie face, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then there's some new Assassin's Creed details on multiplayer. Some new footage of that, I believe.
Footage. Good stuff.
Yeah, although that's not Wii U, so.
Well, it's
stuff, still cool.
Though, still.
Yeah. The Resident Evil 6 stuff is actually really interesting to me. I mean, that's one of the games that you and I sort of watch over, mm-hmm. and like, or the franchise in general, actually. And it's cool. I mean, I think both of us were not all that thrilled with the playable demo that was attached to Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, it had some problems, but I mean, like you discussed in the article that went up a few days ago, I mean, it was just a demo that was made before the game was complete. So, I mean, it's not necessarily an indication of how the overall experience will be.
And near as I can tell, I'm not at Comic-Con, so I haven't been able to play this thing, but near as I can tell from watching a good amount of the footage that we put up on the site, we had about a dozen clips that went up over the, I think it was yesterday. It looks like Capcom's been fixing some of the issues. It's hard to say unless you're playing it, because a lot of them have to deal with like crazy camera control and some stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. But it looked better, at least from what I could tell. So we'll see what
happens.
From
what I understand, they've been pretty proactive with listening to the feedback.
Yeah, hopefully.
People have been saying. So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it all comes together.
So on to Nintendo news. Audrey, have you ever had times where... You have people complaining at you or telling you they want something better than what you've given them, and you're just fed up with it?
All the time, Rich.
All right. So that happened to Nintendo Global President Satoru Iwata the other day, who was asked about the 3DS XL. This was so the system actually, or the revamped system, I guess you could say, comes out in just a couple weeks in Europe and Japan. We have to wait about a month for it. But the press over there asked him, if Nintendo had considered adding a second circle pad. He basically said, sure, it was technically possible. Thing is that it would have probably made the system bigger.
And it would cut down on the battery life.
Yeah, they'd weighed and, you know, they sort of weighed it all out and decided to go the course they did. Mm-hmm. What was interesting, and this is sort of rare for, I would say, a Japanese executive. They're usually not quite this...
they're usually more guarded in their responses, I would say.
Yeah, it's a little more like, careful. I hope you enjoy this. I'm sorry if you don't, that sort of thing. And Iwata, at least through the translator, and who knows exactly what Iwata said, because you sometimes lose a little bit in this, but he basically said, it's a call we had to make. Well, this is actually a quote from the article we wrote. It's a call we had to make, and these people, referring to sort of the people that are observing there's no second circle pad and they want one, will just have to live with it.
He actually said it, these people.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. These. So yeah, that was kind of interesting. I think we all understand that there's sort of a cause and effect, and if you add one thing or subtract another thing, you can only do so much. And Nintendo also he mentioned in the same interview that, you know, they're making money on the XL, so, you know, they're very cognizant, especially with the price drop of the original 3DS, of how much these things are costing, how much they're making or losing. They are ultimately responsible to their shareholders, and I just think it is interesting to see them sort of point blank say that. I personally would have sacrificed the battery. I would have been willing to deal with an exact same battery and get the circle pad.
If it had been a worse battery, though, that would have
worse would
been
be bad.
Pretty unplayable.
From a PR perspective, it's hard.
It's already pretty bad. Like, I have the little battery pack attachment, and it's fine, but without that, it's pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, the battery is a problem, I agree, and I complain about it all the time. I feel like I probably would be willing to deal with it just to get a second circle pad, though. I don't know. It's hard to say. Or, you know, I struggle to see how much space you would have had to add for that second circle pad. If you're talking like, what, a millimeter or two? It's that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is actually remarkably similar in size, especially sort of like thickness. And I think it's the depth of the system to its predecessor anyway. It's like,
yeah.
I'll take a slight. I mean, the thing's already kind of big anyway, so like whatever. Yeah. Like, give me slightly more and let me have my second circle pet.
I mean, but I think the truth is just they don't consider it a priority. I mean, they don't. They made the system the way it was. That's how they intended it for it to be. They made the Circle Pad Pro mostly for third party developers, just if they wanted to use it. So I think when they thought about how their own development for 3DS games doesn't really gear towards a second stick, they just were like, it's just not worth the extra money or the extra battery loss.
Yeah, I mean, they had other priorities, basically, is what it comes down to. So that was interesting. Rather
wording,
bold.
Kind of upset people.
Oh, did it? Yeah.
Some people were like, these people, huh?
Yeah, the article.
I don't think you meant it like that.
It skyrocketed in comments. And I mean, I understand why people would be a little frustrated. It's like, you know, to a significant degree, that system has a design flaw, and it's that it could arguably use a second circle stick, especially when you're talking about sort of like a GameCube N64 level graphics. You could certainly use a second circle, circle pad to do Resident Evil, Kingdom Hearts types games. I understand that. Me personally, I mean, I've said this on the podcast before, I ultimately would prefer experiences that don't necessarily require two sticks, because then I'm gonna mostly get clones of games that are already, you know, out there.
Just shoved from consoles to a portable.
Exactly. Me personally, I thought Revelations was fine without a second circle pad. Metal Gear needed the second circle pad.
Metal Gear is the only one I've encountered that really needs it.
And that's a direct port, though.
That's a port of a console game, exactly.
Yeah, that game is not designed for the 3DS.
Yeah, but like I said, I have the battery pack on my 3DS, so I can't have the circle pad. So I've just, any game that even can support it, I can't use it. And so, I mean, it's been fine without it, though.
Well,
I'm playing...
When you get the XL, you're not going to be able to use it anyway.
Exactly, so it works out anyway. But, like, I'm playing Dream Drop Distance, and, you know, it's fine without the circle pad. Like, maybe it takes a second to get used to or whatever. Maybe it would be better with it, but it's totally fine without it. It's not necessary at all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in the long term, I don't really notice it. I messed around with the second circle pad, I don't miss it that much.
No.
And as long as developers are designing, and they kind of have to design without it in mind.
That's their point, is that they want them to design it just with the system in mind.
Yeah, I think if they built it in, that would sort of cause some more problems than it did.
Well, then imagine people who don't want to upgrade to the XL. Then they're just left out. Unless they track down a Circle Pad Pro, those aren't the easiest things to find. They're just left out. So
it's a hard decision.
I understand why they made it, but it is a tough decision. Yeah.
It's a weird decision.
Yeah.
Iwata also, I mean, he spoke on a variety of topics. Most of it was sort of rehashing stuff we've already discussed. One thing he did say is that Wii U third party announcements are still coming. And we kind of known that. When I spoke with Reggie at E3, he said just because something isn't announced doesn't mean
it won't be.
We know, I believe we ran a story a while back saying that, you know, EA Sports apparently has some announcements coming at some point. So we know some of that stuff. We don't know many specifics beyond that. And anyway, so what Iwata said was that when Nintendo is ready to announce the price point and timing of launch for Wii U, direct quote, we will also be able to announce some more third-party titles. So that's interesting.
It's pretty clear what Nintendo's doing. It's not too surprising at all. I mean, it's just what any developer would want to do. They're breaking their announcements into different time periods so that they each get, you know, their own time in the spotlight, you know. They're not going to announce everything that they have at E3, or else, you know, only Nintendo's first-party stuff's going to get any attention.
Yeah, it's smart to spread it out. At the same time, it does raise a lot of questions. I mean, it's a very difficult position to be in, you know. If you don't reveal enough, then people question the commitment of third parties. They also question your launch efforts as a whole. They already had a fairly disappointing show.
Yeah, it's a tough line to walk, for sure. And especially, I mean, if I were them, I would have just had the show if they weren't going to announce tons of things, because I mean, we've said this a million times, having just that many conferences just made you think that it was going to be a news blowout, and it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't. So it'll be interesting to see what these third-party titles are. These days, I tend to get more excited by the Nintendo Direct things because
surprisingly big things get announced there. That's where we first found out about New Super Mario Bros. 2. That's
exactly
where we found out about the XL.
Project Cross Zone, I think, was revealed there. I believe Bravely Default.
One,
and I mean,
big stuff.
And these things, who knows if they'll ever come to America, but Nintendo is clearly willing to showcase some big third-party games in these things. So it'll be interesting to see what they do for this launch event and what they reveal.
And how many more rooms at the Nintendo headquarters they can show off.
I know, right? You got, what, the sound room. And my favorite was the wireless interference or, you know, dampener room where you could go in to test wireless devices without interference and stuff. I'm like, okay.
Like the warehouse they showed in the European Nintendo Direct.
That was actually kind of cool because they showed sort of like the process.
It's like, I see it there. Just give me the XL now.
Seriously, yeah. So anyway, that was sort of the summary of some of the things Iwata had said sort of recently. One of the things I found interesting over the past few weeks is Nintendo's increased emphasis on the graphical price comparison for and cost comparison for Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this again in the past, sort of. I mean, until we get to the launch period, we're going to be talking a lot about the same topics. But you know, they're increasingly starting to be like, we've had to weigh costs.
Yeah.
We don't know how this will compare to the PS4 and the next Xbox. Mm-hmm. That, you know, yeah, some people looking for a lot of detail in their games or the really, you know, the
graphical difference from 1080 to whatever the next one's going to be. You know?
They're emphasizing some of that, but it makes me feel like this is again.
It's really a bad choice on their parts because they're already, before the system has even come out, and I mean, it's a fully HD system, it's 1080, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're already sort of making it seem like it's a compromise.
Yeah.
Which is like, come on, guys, PS4 hasn't even been announced, and you're already making it seem like a compromise.
I think that the trick Nintendo has at the moment is they are clearly doing things differently again. Mm-hmm. Wii U is not going to compete directly with PS4, Xbox 720, or whatever you want to call them. And what's interesting about it to me is that I feel like Nintendo is suffering from a identity crisis of sorts. I think they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they always have, but their messaging has been wrong.
Yeah. Especially in America,
because, you know, they came out and when they introduced the Wii U and they were like, we're out here for the hardcore gamers and everybody mm-hmm. else. And when you say that and you don't frame it properly, which I don't think they have.
Those are some big words to just throw out.
Yeah.
There.
Everyone's like, oh, so you're going to compete with the PS4 and Xbox 720.
And then suddenly you're at the press conference and suddenly it's like the Wii generation all over again.
Yeah. And I mean, that's sort of the trick. And I think they have been smart to. You know, we had a few problems, and one of them was its controller was so different from everybody mm-hmm. else's. Graphics even aside, it was such a radical departure that developers just simply had trouble getting games mm-hmm. onto that thing. How are you supposed to use this Wii remote? A lot of it ended up being very gimmicky, feeling very forced, and mm-hmm. people rejected that. Wii U is a little different. Wii U still has the innovation. It has the touchscreen. It still has a lot of the motion control elements, and you also mm-hmm. have the Wii U controller, or the Wii remote, of course. But it also has the benefit of having all the traditional inputs and buttons mm-hmm. and triggers and all that sort of stuff. And I think that will give Nintendo some flexibility there, plus the fact that now they're in HD as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I just feel like Nintendo trying to make the claim that, oh, well, we're going to be able to do everything. We're going to be able to do the hardcore games and our games, the casual games, everything else, all of it.
Spreading themselves very thin.
It's spreading it thin, and it's also creating, you know, it's like Nintendo should just be proud of the fact that they're going to be different.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I love about Nintendo, honestly. They've always been different. They've always marched to the beat of their own drum, you know? That's what makes them so innovative.
Yeah,
you know?
It is. And I think that especially as you're looking towards the next generation where costs are going up and up and up and up and up, that developers are still going to be looking for some sort of compromise or reasonable alternative. Especially as the iPad starts to become more powerful,
mm-hmm.
I read this great article by, I believe it was Emily Rogers. I'll have to find a link to it and either work that into some sort of article as a reference or something. But, it's basically talking about how costs have been so high this generation. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you compare it to movies are very expensive to make, but they also keep their ticket price low. So mm-hmm. you pay $10, even though, you know, and yeah, movie prices are considerably higher than they used to be, but, you know, you pay less, far, far, far less. And while it's a briefer experience, it allows more people to get in the door because more people can afford a $10 ticket than they can a $60 game plus a console.
Well, that's sort of why Nintendo's doing what it's doing, you know, just staying at this level of graphics and stuff, is they don't want the entry price to play their games to be so high. Like, it's already pretty high. $60 is already a lot to ask for a game, especially yes. for kids. I mean, when you were a kid, it was tough to get together $60 to get all the new games.
And it's weird because I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, you do get a lot of value in a game. You know, a typical game is probably 10, 12 hours, maybe, and depending on the game, a lot more, depending, like if it's a Skyrim or something. And so if you look at it in that perspective, sure, a game's a great value. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't necessarily aren't able to look at that value. They're just like, that's a $60 thing.
Exactly.
That's a $60 thing. I don't care if it gives me 50 hours of entertainment. It's still a $60 mm-hmm. thing.
That's something the whole industry is going to have to learn to deal with is development costs get higher and higher and hardware gets more and more powerful. It's like...
Now what are you going to do? Charge $80?
Do you charge $90? More for games? That's not going to work.
And we're already
cut down on development and games don't look better. That's not going
to
work.
And I mean, that actually might be what the industry needs to do is to stop sitting there and obsessing over graphics. And it's sort of a natural inclination. Maybe. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a natural inclination. Fine, I understand. I mean, like...
I think once you get to a certain level, though, it just doesn't matter. Like, Arkham City, you know what I mean? Like, that game looks great, and mm-hmm. it plays great. The gameplay is awesome. And I think that's just a great balance, you know, between graphics and gameplay.
And it's a tough thing, because I understand, you know, like, I was playing... For the first time, actually, I played through Bioshock, and I beat it the other day. And that game looks good, and I understand... And I can... appreciate the differences between the way that game looks, which is I believe I read mostly Unreal Engine 2 with mm-hmm. some Unreal Engine 3 modifications or upgrades or some sort of balance between the two, and you compare it to something more like I don't know, like a Skyrim or mm-hmm. even Arkham City, and there's the differences there. But at the same time, like, I think the industry needs to remember that ultimately these things need to be fun. There's a reason why we took off, and despite the fact that it was SD, and despite the fact that it had its gimmicky controls, there's a reason.
Exactly. I mean, it's video games, not video movies, not just video. Like, the whole point is that it's a fun, mm-hmm. engaging experience. Like, I love looking at a beautiful game, you know what I mean? It's great, but at the same time, that's not what I go to gaming for.
Yeah, and you know, it was weird to me because, you know, a lot of people are just like, oh my gosh, that game looks amazing, this mm-hmm. game looks amazing. I was playing Telltale's Walking Dead the mm-hmm. other day, and that's I think it's a $5 game, pretty sure, for an episode. And you know, sure, by far not the prettiest game out there. Mm-hmm. You know, when you compare it to like some of your full price $60 games, and sure, you know, I can't explore everything actively. I'm sort of clicking on mm-hmm. things, and it's very guided and stuff. But that was awesome. Yeah. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed myself for $5. I got like 3 to 4 hours, and you know, we're seeing a lot of these indie games show up, a lot of these smaller games come out. And anyway, point being, I think Nintendo has sort of this messaging issue because they seem to be trying to do a Me Too message. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they need to do that.
No, they don't need to. They never needed to. I mean, going back to graphics, look at Wind Waker. That came out on the GameCube, mm-hmm. and it still holds up.
Yeah, even now.
It's timeless, you know? Yeah. Just being clever with the tech that you have and making mm-hmm. sure that it's an incredible world with great gameplay, that's all they need to do. That's all they ever needed
to do. I mean, and it's weird because Nintendo... I mean, even 3DS, they've screwed up a lot on the marketing and sort of messaging of that thing because they were all about... They thought that the 3D would make the difference, and it's mm-hmm. not... really what it came down to, and Iwata has actually sort of mentioned this, and I think it was actually in the interview where he was talking about the second circle pad and stuff, but it ultimately comes down to games. Mm-hmm. And if you look at something like Vita versus 3DS, Vita outguns 3DS every which way and mm-hmm. all of it, you know,
but
it's
the games.
It's just, but you mm-hmm. then you look at the games,
exactly.
and Vita A doesn't have a whole lot, but B, quite a few of the games, and I saw somebody write into us like, stop complaining about the Vita. I don't dislike the Vita because I'm just like disliking it. It just really, for me, does not have the experiences I want.
If you go back a few podcasts to when the 3DS first came out, like, we were very harsh on that because that didn't have any games when it first came out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
being
honest about the system, whatever system it is.
And I mean, like, but the 3DS is case proof that, like, if you come out with the right content, it doesn't matter how beautiful it is mm-hmm. or whether its system has like all the processing power in the world. If you have interesting, good experiences, mm-hmm. That's what matters.
Exactly. And well, I mean, it's the same reason we can go back and play our old favorite retro games and they're still as enchanting as they were when we first played them. It's because mm-hmm. in the end, polygon count, you know, it doesn't matter. What matters is the game.
Yeah, and I mean, what's interesting to me too is like, I certainly have my like fair share of complaints about Wii. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm sure people have heard, like, I'm fine to move on. Like, I'm totally fine to move on. But the thing that I always appreciated about Wii, especially as it led up to launch, was Nintendo just outright went and said, we're just doing things differently. Mm-hmm. And I loved
and they stuck by it.
That marketing campaign. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the Wii Would Like to Play thing with those little dudes drove in? Yeah. And I just thought that was the most genius thing because you just instantly understood. And Wii U suffers from a variety of problems, including naming and the look of the system and a whole bunch of things that lead to some of this confusion. Mm-hmm. But I think part of it comes down to, you know, the fact that Nintendo will not just come out and say, like, we're different. We're not going for graphics. Mm-hmm. We embrace the fact that we do everything for everyone. You know, there's a way to do it. And I just don't know that they're doing it very effectively.
Yeah.
So.
Very true.
There's my speech about that. Let's see. Where do we leave off? Further emphasizing that and the fact that Nintendo should come clean. Tekken producer, I can't remember his first name, but it's Harada-san. Sort of one of the key Tekken producer that a lot of people have seen in the Ono-san, Harada-san, Street Fighter Cross Tekken sort of competition videos. Did an interview and basically mentioned the fact that, you know, the Wii U's CPU power or processing speed actually seems slower than 360 PS3 and speculated because of power issues and that sort of stuff. And he said they're able to work with it and it's taking a little bit of creativity to work around it. But I thought that was interesting. Again, it sort of reinforces this idea that Nintendo, you know, the Wii U is, you know, roughly a 360 PS3, probably excels in some areas, but it looks like at least in a CPU, from a CPU standpoint, it's maybe not even quite as powerful. I don't think that's a big deal, though. Depends. Yeah. But I don't... I mean, I saw that Zelda thing, and I freaked out.
It looks pretty gorgeous. I mean, yeah. That doesn't directly translate. That wasn't him saying, the Wii U sucks, and the graphics look terrible,
absolutely
and it
not.
Runs terribly. He was just noticing
this is what it is, and we're working on it.
It's a little slower.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I don't think it's really that big of a deal, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sure things can get better, and I think that, you know, we'll be looking at a lot of, you know, the particle effects and AI routines and stuff like that. Will probably be some of the biggest advancements next gen. And Nintendo will still have a challenging road because I think a lot of developers and publishers will throw themselves full force into next gen. Like, oh, what's the best looking thing we can make? But I do think that is a difficult thing. That is a very difficult road to go down. And I think Nintendo could be, if they do it right, and I hope they're doing this behind the scenes, because who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
But if they're going behind the scenes and making that case and saying, sure, do that AAA crazy thing over there. But at the same time, like, there is a whole world, you know, that you can also do. And if developers find it more profitable, then Nintendo ultimately will do very well for themselves.
Yeah.
Because if you can make, you know, assuming Wii U really takes off and you can make a much cheaper game and achieve a lot greater profit, well, that's where you're going to show up.
Yeah.
So
we'll see what happens.
New Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah. Some shiny new images and trailers came out.
Some new stuff. New trailer.
They actually came out in the UK, did they not?
What did? The screenshots. So,
but the internet is worldwide, so we got to see them too.
Well, the trailer we got that just went wide, and so that actually confirmed the existence of Mega Mario, Mini Mario, back from, you know, New Super Mario Brothers of the past. The images you're referring to actually were on the Japanese website because they're only like 2 weeks away from launch over there.
Yeah.
Also, I hope I haven't said this on the podcast. I made a mistake in an article I wrote saying that New Super Mario Brothers 2. I got the UK Europe release date wrong. That's still August 19th here for us, August 17th for Europe, July 28th for Japan. Yeah. Alongside the XL in Japan, Europe is getting the XL July 28th. We're getting Mario and the XL on August 19th.
Difficult.
Yeah, basically I thought Mario was coming day and date with the XL everyone, in every territory, and it wasn't quite.
So, for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, if you're going to get it, I would think it's smart to launch a new game alongside your new system. But whatever. So we got Mega Mini Mario. We kind of knew some of this stuff before, but we got the overworld back for New Super Mario Brothers 2 as well.
We got to look at some really cool-looking new levels, actually. Really cool backgrounds. A lot of variation.
Some great design. To me, from what I... New Super Mario Brothers on DS was a great game, but at the same time, it was so easy. It felt very simple and lacked a lot of the complexity and just sort of craziness that Mario games can sometimes have. And what I think I really love about 2 so far, from what I've seen, is that not only is it bringing back a lot of elements of 3 and World, it's clear that these guys grew up with these games as well.
Exactly.
But they're willing to kind of get the creativity and kind of crazy stuff going that makes some of these Mario games so cool. So
yeah, the more I see about New Super Mario Bros. 2, the more excited I am for it. Because at first, like we've said this before, the first time we heard about it, we were like, no, not another one.
Yeah, especially 2 in 1 year. You're
exactly.
Just kind of like,
but like they actually look really distinct from each other. Yeah. Like this one is doing a really great job of setting itself apart, and all the crazy coins and the cool backgrounds. Like it should be a really fun game.
It might just be because this one's so close to launch, so we're getting a lot more information. Mm-hmm. So we feel
we
understand more.
Yeah, we're still so
more.
Far from the Wii U one.
The U one is weird because I'm just sitting here going like, well, what are you going to do differently? Mm-hmm. And so that, I mean, and making the platforms for the 5-player kind of co-op thing is up to 5-player co-op thing is cool, but like, that's not all I need. And I want something that, you know, so New Super Mario Bros. 2 has that 2-player local co-op. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing all these cool things that won't matter if I have that. It's also the fact that I can just play this by myself and see some cool stuff.
Yeah, it looks like a great single-player experience.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Got local co-op. It's got the little coin race to a million thing.
Exactly.
It's got all kinds of things going for it. So hopefully, and it's a good guess that when it gets closer to Wii U launch and a Mario U launch, that we'll learn more about it and see how that game is going to further set itself apart.
Yeah, because right now, the fact that I can play up to 5 people, what if I'm just playing by myself? You know, like
exactly.
if I'm just trying to go through the single-player experience, like, what's really going to set that apart? So we'll see. I don't know. The so far, what we've learned of Mario 2 is a lot cooler. Mm-hmm. Project Sora closed. Yeah, this was kind of weird because just randomly overnight,
unexpected, yeah.
They updated their website and said, by the way, we're not doing anything anymore.
Well, it's funny because Satoru Iwata, I believe, had said previously that Project Sora wasn't just created for Kid Icarus Uprising, that they were going to work on other first-party titles.
It's a full-fledged, company with, now from what we understand, like, we just really don't have any decent word on what the heck is going on with this, but, like, from what we understand, there's Project Sora, the development development group, and then there's Sora.
Limited, yeah,
and that's the actual company. As far as we can tell, Project Sora is gone, disbanded, as Sakurai goes over to, and he's not going over to Namco, but works
he's
with Namco.
With them for the foreseeable future.
Exactly. So, I'm guessing he took some of his guys with him from Project Sora, but who knows?
You would think, because he's been using a lot of the same guys for a long time.
Yeah.
So you'd think.
So, at least the company still exists, but I don't, it's really weird. Like, basically, for Smash Brothers Melee, Smash Brothers Brawl, Sakurai basically created a hastily assembled group and created the game, the Smash Brothers games, and then the group sort of just dispersed.
Uh-huh.
With Sora, with Kid Icarus, it was a bit different. He actually made a company, and it's actually it's a subsidiary of Nintendo and all this stuff. But then he sort of did the same thing, from what we can tell, and Kid Icarus finishes development, and then the group disbands again. It's like, well, but
it's like,
that's kind of weird.
Why?
Yeah. It's a very strange thing. It also just sort of begs the question, well, why didn't you just try and make Smash Brothers with Sora? Like, rapidly expand Sora if you want, why not just do that? So, a lot of questions. We've reached out to Nintendo for comment, but no statement.
There was just
that thing on the website. The website shuts down, I think, at the end of this month. Nintendo hasn't given us any comment on what's going on, and
that's all.
That's it.
All we know.
Like
you said, Rich has reached out, so we'll let you guys know if we hear anything. But we know about as much as you guys do.
Yeah, that was one of the weirdest things that's happened in a little, in the past couple of weeks since Nintendo announced the XL and those games at an online conference. But that aside, it's the latest weird thing to happen. Let's see here. Oh, Namco. So we mentioned Harada-san doing the interview about the Wii CPU. He also said he's not sure about Tekken characters being in Smash Brothers.
Which, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, good. You know, I mean, I like Tekken and everything. Just doesn't feel.
I can go either way.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want it to become Nintendo cross Namco. You know what I mean?
No,
like, it's fine
if
I want them to include a few of their characters.
Sure.
It makes sense to, but I think having a bunch of Tekken characters supplement the roster would be a little too much, and I don't know. It would be hard to make them fit in.
Yeah, so it's a strange kind of dilemma they have, because one of the things that I think Sakurai has sort of broadly discussed in the past is you know, you sort of look at a lot of the Nintendo characters, and in a game like Brawl, they all sort of seem to fit together. Mm-hmm. But they did have to do some work to try and kind of make all these characters mm-hmm. sort of fit within the same little world
and
there.
And, like, Snake was already stretching it.
It was
like,
a bit
it's
weird.
Cool, it worked, but that's about as far as you can go. That was already yeah. pretty much
so
a stretch.
So then, like, what do you do for something like, you know, the Tekken characters? And
they're so distinct.
Yeah, like, are you going to, you know, King tends to, you know, or whoever you want to pick, like, it's more of a physical game. It's more punching based, mm-hmm. kicking, you know, like physical brawling type game. And Smash Brothers is manic and you're jumping far in the air
yeah,
and projectiles.
It's very much its own thing. So I totally respect that decision.
Yeah, it's a strange thing as to whether these things fit and how much you compromise either side to get there.
Yeah, it's like, do you just give up everything that Tekken has
right.
just to make it into
right.
a Smash Fighter for those characters? I mean,
yeah.
you would almost, that's what I would want, because I want to play a Smash Bros. Game, not
sure.
a Tekken game. But
sure.
it would be strange, too, to play Tekken characters in a Smash game. I don't
yeah,
know. I understand why they do it.
And Street Fighter Cross Tekken did an interesting thing where it brought the Tekken characters closer, I would say, to Street Fighter mm-hmm. than Tekken, although they still retained a lot of the characteristics of Tekken characters.
Up. They did.
And they kind of found a good middle point, but Brawl or Smash Brothers in general is such a different idea,
it's
you know?
It's very much its own thing.
Yeah, you look at something like Street Fighter and Tekken, you can kind of see where a middle ground might exist.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I kind of, okay.
But here it's like, you basically have to choose one or the other.
Yeah, it would be like trying to do a Gran Turismo Mario Kart crossover.
Yeah,
like, where
exactly.
Where do you find
like,
that?
I guess you could, but
sure.
you shouldn't.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know what you do there. That's a weird thing
yeah.
to try and figure out. So, Monster Hunter 4.
Yeah.
Most ambitious Monster Hunter ever, from what we can tell. According to Capcom, this has the largest development crew scale, I think was their technical word, of any Monster Hunter game.
Sounds
and this
good.
Is,
sad face.
yeah. So, still no American release date. Still no nothing for that.
Yeah.
Spring 2013, as far as Japan is concerned. Mm-hmm. And yeah, one of the interesting things they revealed, and Capcom has been very smart in this regard, and I would love to see this continue, and I wish other publishers and developers would take advantage of this. They developed 3G, Monster Hunter 3G, and Monster Hunter 4 at the same time, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, 4 is taking, you know, a good another, I think it'll be a good year and a half
mm-hmm.
Between 3G and 4's release, but they used 3G is sort of a test bed for some ideas. It helped them kind of get on the ground and running
mm-hmm.
and then actually release something on their way to get 4
yeah.
ready. And, you know, they tested, I believe it was like a targeting camera system for 3G
mm-hmm.
and they liked it and reception seemed fairly positive. So they're
yeah.
keeping it in 4. And I think that's really cool. I mean, it reminds me of, you know, you can attest to this. This is like Resident Evil.
Yeah,
Mercenaries came out and they sort of admitted that was a test
trying to
ground.
Work out the kinks for Revelations.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I think Revelations benefited from it, and
mm-hmm.
it helped Revelations be probably still one of, if not the best, certainly one of the best still looking games.
Oh, for sure.
On 3DS.
And if you compare it to Mercenaries, like Mercenaries looks fine, but like
yeah.
Revelations looks better.
Yeah, it really helped them kind of get a starting
figure
point.
Figure out
and
the system, learn
mm-hmm.
how the hardware works, and then boom,
yeah.
just jump into Revelations.
Exactly. Last thing I've got on my list, unless you have anything, is Last Story.
Yeah.
Finally got a release date. We were able to reveal that here on IGN.
Finally. Yay. Exclusives.
Yeah. August 14th. So really not that far
Pretty
away.
Soon,
it's
yeah.
what, like three or so weeks away. We already knew that the game would come, all launch copies would come with an art book
mm-hmm.
and a special case to have the art book and the game together.
Mm-hmm.
But what XSEED also revealed was that if you pre-order the game and there's a list of retailers, you should go to IGN to find that out because I can't remember them off the top of my head. But if you go there and you pre-order, you get a limited chunk of a soundtrack. It's like 7 tracks, I think.
Yeah,
that's kind of
yeah.
cool. It's
that's
a,
cool. I mean, good music in that game.
Yeah, Tsumatsu.
Exactly.
And that's good.
Yeah.
You know,
he's,
like that.
He's pretty good.
Well done for that, you know? So that's cool. I mean, Audrey, you finished the game, right?
Yeah.
Good.
And it's a good game. It
yeah.
is. You should pick it up. I mean, I personally like, I know a lot of people disagree. I personally enjoyed it even more than Xenoblade.
Mm.
But,
why?
I don't know, just the characters and just the flow of it, the combat. Mm. I just enjoyed it more.
Visually,
more...
it struck me as being, I mean, Xenoblade had sort of a wilder diversity to its environments
mm-hmm.
that I could tell, but Last Story seemed like to be prettier, right?
Yeah, I personally felt that Last Story used the Wii system better.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Xenoblade, looking, and I rarely say this, but like looking at Xenoblade, it just made me think, man, I wish this game was in HD.
Sure.
Because it just didn't, the system just wasn't quite enough to facilitate what they were going for. But
yeah.
Last Story, it feels just like it fits the system perfectly. It's not wanting of anything. So cool. I just really like the art style and the game and the characters. But I mean, they're both great games. But yeah, Last Story, pick it up if you want some more RPG goodness this summer.
It's basically, I mean, outside of the Kirby collection, it's basically the last Wii game I think we'd really expect here.
The last Wii game, Rich?
I forget when the Kirby release date is. Isn't that really soon? I forget.
That was funny.
I know. I bet, look at that. Look at you trying to be funny. They all just face pumped. Yeah, I mean, it's basically down to Kirby and that. I really don't expect Dragon Quest X to come out on Wii here. It's Wii and Wii U overseas. I mean, honestly, there's no confirmation of it outside of Japan anyway.
They haven't talked about it in North America for the longest time.
I don't think they ever have, actually, from my recollection. I mean, like,
I think they mentioned it the E3 before last, just mentioned it, and then that's it. They haven't really shown anything or talked about it in leaks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it ever comes out here. I mean, still, Square takes a while to do these things sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. What you been playing? Anything exciting?
Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Lots of Kingdom Hearts.
Cool. Been doing Bioshock.
Yeah.
And Walking Dead.
Nice.
Usually this segment takes a little bit longer on what you're playing because there are a lot more people here. It's so weird. Like, yeah. Well, Goldfarb's been playing. I don't know what they've been playing. All right. Anything else? Miss any Nintendo news or anything?
No. Just a reminder, the Kingdom Hearts review goes up Tuesday at 1 p.m. Monday, check the 3DS site. We're going to have a cool Pokemon something for you to look forward to. So,
Yeah. Honestly, I don't remember what that is, so that'll be exciting to
me, too. I'll remind Rich after we're done recording. But, yeah, it's something you were trying, and it should be pretty fun for Pokemon fans.
Cool. Yeah, also, check out the Darksiders 2 stuff we've been putting up on the site. We're actually just doing sort of... The game has, at least as it's described to me, 5 major areas. Now, keep in mind, these are like... Each of these areas have like, you know, 4, 5, 6 dungeons in them. So I mean, this is considerable. But, you know, we've been profiling 4 of the 5. I think they're trying to keep the kind of final area secret. But like 4 of the 5 areas, we're just sort of taking tours of, visual tours. It's been pretty cool. We're also showing off exclusive art and concept ideas in the wiki. So definitely check those out if you're a Darksiders fan. Game looks pretty cool. You know, thought the first one was pretty decent. So. I don't know. I think it's about it. I've got like a ton of travel coming up, so I'm not even thinking about everything else.
Yeah, Rich is probably going to be pretty MIA on the podcast in
August. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Well, some of them are just weekend things for work, so it's not too bad, but it could be tricky.
We could have you call in and ramble from your car again. That was pretty great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll be great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's about it. So sorry about the 1-day delay. It's been kind of a weird week. It's a crazy week, especially as you've been trying to wrap up Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, I've been trying to wrap that up and get everything together for the video and the written review. But it'll all pay off Tuesday. So you better read it.
And here's hoping there's a lot more crazy Nintendo statements for next week's podcast.
Until next time, see you later, people.
Later.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.